702 Health and Wellness.
All right, on our health and wellness feature this morning, we are talking about caring for your gut, your gastrointestinal system, right? That includes your stomach, your intestines, your colon. And we talk about this because gut is so important, right? It breaks down the foods that you eat. It absorbs the nutrients that support your body's functions. So how can we best take care of our gut? Because gut health experts are telling us that, you know, gut health affects your whole body, driving everything from your digestion and immune system to energy, metabolism. In fact, research shows us that our gut microbiome can affect every organ in our body. So what's in your gut, offers a stronger indication of your risk even of diabetes, of heart disease and obesity, than even our genetic predispositions. So it's quite imperative that we take care of our gut to avoid any further medical risks. How do you take care of your gut? You can give us a call on 011-883-0702 or any gut-related questions you have. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. Mbali Mapoli is a clinical and consultant dietitian who is going to guide us through this chat. How are you doing, Mbali? Good morning.
Good morning. Amanda, I'm good. And how are you doing?
I'm okay. So gut health is, I imagine, linked to so many important facets of our well-being. What foods should we say we should cut out completely in order to safeguard our gut?
Yo, I was thinking you're going to start with the foods to include. But in terms of foods to cut out completely, there's no one food that if you completely say, I'll never eat this, then that would be your win for improving your gut health. I think the biggest thing is how can we incorporate all foods in a more gut-supporting way, that even if it's foods that, because I don't believe in, fear-mongering and saying, as typically people will say, foods that are high in sugar should completely be cut out because they affect your gut. Yes, to some extent, they do affect your gut, obviously, as consumed in high quantities and your diet is poor anyway. But the biggest thing here that sits at the top of everything is just improving your overall diet, whether it's reducing the foods that affect your gut, as I made as an example with high sugary foods or very high fatty foods and alcohol as well. But then finding and tuning yourself back into that somewhat that line where you still prioritize high fiber foods, you still prioritize your good bacteria packed foods like your probiotics for improving your gut health. I think then if we approach it like that, we have a much more bird's eye view at it. We are able to see it holistically.
Okay. And for those who, and maybe this is where I should have started with you, when we talk about gut health, what are we referring to? What is it involved biologically?
Yes, and I heard you in your introduction talking about it quite well, because most people think it's about maybe the stomach or it's about only maybe the intestines. Mm. So the gut is actually short. It comes from the gastrointestinal tract, which includes everything, all the organs connected from our mouth, our esophagus, our stomach, our intestines, the large and the small and the large intestines, going down to our anus and our rectum and then our anus. So it's a whole point. But also it includes organs that support that whole line, that whole 9 meters long, it's roughly about 9 meters long GIT. It includes organs like your gallbladder, your liver, your pancreas, your appendix, which are not necessarily part of that 9 meters, but they play a very significant role in supporting your gut. So imagine then if we are talking about all these organs and all that, and we speak about immune cells, about 70% of our immune cells, they sit in that gut area. So then you start realizing that us just saying, oh, I'm taking care of my gut from a trend perspective, we are missing maybe a bigger picture of how big and massive the gut is. You said at the beginning that our gut health is linked to our immunity. It's linked into our energy levels, our brain function and our skin health. So it's because it's that much of a big area that is related to the gut. So yes, biologically, it's all of those organs that make one's gut. When we speak about gut health, sorry to cut you there, we're then speaking about whether it's gut-related disorder, so all problems or diseases that are affecting those organs that are mentioned and all the mouth and everything. So we're speaking about that, but also we're speaking about just what makes the gut, what makes your intestines. We talk about good bacteria, the microbiota, or the microflora, which is just a good bacteria in your gut. We talk about all the microorganisms, even your fungi, your mold, is there in our gut. Mm. We just think about how can it be balanced well so that that community of bacteria is in good health. Those are the things that we focus on. And then nutrition and other lifestyle factors, but what we eat and drink then plays a very significant role in supporting the gut health, but then comes physical activity and all other lifestyle factors that also contribute to good gut health.
Yeah, and sometimes when you talk about nutrition, there are people who say, well, it's so expensive to find gut-friendly foods. What are some of the affordable gut-friendly foods that people can start considering?
One of my personal superpowers, I gave this to myself, don't come for me, Clement, but is that I'm able to help people use what they have to find the power of the gut supporting. For example, when we speak about probiotics are good bacteria, and we get probiotics from food that we eat. We know that your Greek yogurt or plain yogurt is packed with good bacteria, but that is a bit expensive for most people. And what if I told you that amas, ingomas, just your normal fermented milk that we all love, most of us love, is packed with good bacteria, but at much more affordable price. So those are the things we have to look at. Sauerkraut, which is that fermented cabbage that you keep that lasts forever and ever, is also packed with good bacteria. You don't have to find kimchi, which is not necessarily something that is common in our region, but you can find sauerkraut. You can find more bunny worms if you are from the north of South Africa. That's where mostly you easily find more bunny worms. More bunny worms are also thought to be packed with good bacteria. So those are the foods that we want. Those are probiotics packed foods that we can easily access. But when it comes to fiber is directly the food for those good bacteria, and there are different types of fiber. I'm not going to get into all of those details. But just your normal fruits and vegetables, the vegetables that we can grow in our gardens, those vegetables are packed with fiber. All the vegetables that you can literally buy, your mustard leaf, abanye they call it mchaina, your spinach that you can literally go outside of your house and buy it at the street, is all the vegetables that we need that is packed with fiber. Bananas have got fiber. Apples have got fiber. So by building that diversified plate with what we have and what our climate produces, we are able to then reach good gut nutrition without breaking the bank.
Okay. I want to take some calls and WhatsApps now. Some listeners have got some experiences of how they're caring for their gut. Some have got some questions for you. 011-883-0702. Their WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702.
Hi, Clement. I hope you're well. Can you please ask Mbali for me how dangerous are gallstones and what is the long-term effect of ignoring gallstones? And also, once you've been diagnosed or once they've picked up that you have, how quick does it take for one to remove them? Is it an immediate thing? Can you use home remedies or it immediately needs attention? Thank you.
Thank you. Quite a layered question, Bali.
No, gallstones are, I can say are not inherently dangerous as they are themselves. However, they can be complications. You find that a gallstone gets stuck somewhere and then that causes gallstone obstruction. It also can cause inflammation of your gallbladder. It can also cause pancreatitis, and you can be jaundiced. And even at long term, it can cause gallbladder cancer. So I think the best thing to do is that once you've been diagnosed with gallstone, take it further with your gastroenterologist, take it further with them, and then they will recommend what is the next step. If they think surgery should be done immediately, then they'll refer you to the general surgeon. So I work also in the hospital, and I do get to see people who've done gallbladder removal, because sometimes if you've got gallstones, they have to remove the whole gallbladder. Recovery after is quite quick, especially if it's a laparoscopic where they've done it through a camera. And in terms of what you eat, typically you don't really change your diet that much, but you do need to adopt a more varied diet in terms of your vegetables and fruits and reduce your deep fried foods and fatty foods. But for the most part, you do live in like a pretty much a normal life without a gallbladder, especially if your liver is in good condition.
Okay, another question is, Clement, please ask your guest about the benefits of avocados, if any.
Oh, yes. Avocados are fantastic. They are, you know, quite a nutritious, they call it a fruit, and they're packed with healthy fats that are good for heart health, but also they are packed with fiber. They've got fiber, the soluble fiber, which is fantastic for gut health, and they add in that sense of fillingness. So let's say you're having bread. It's best to have bread with avo than to have bread with margarine in terms of you feeling fuller for longer. So avocados are just a fantastic food item to add in your diet. And over and above heart health, even men's health, we know that incorporating avocados and other foods that contain healthy fats helps a lot in terms of supporting that those sort of health pillars.
Mary, you're calling from Johannesburg. Good morning. Hi, Mary.
Hi, it's Mary. I would like to know, I've been suffering from diverticulitis for about 5 years. Occasionally he suffers from bad constipation as well. But recently, in the past couple of 3-4 months, he's been suffering from halitosis as well. Is there any recommendation in order to treat it?
Thank you, Mary. Bali?
What would the suggestion be?
Okay.
Just a quick one on diverticulitis. For those who don't know, it's usually the sort of like inflammation or infection that usually affects the large intestine, and it's usually like these digs in your colon that if food gets stuck there, then it causes inflammation. So as to how to manage it, usually we say you need a low fiber diet, but that changes your diet completely. So I'll say highly suggest you get a dietitian or start maybe with your physician or get a dietitian involved, but particularly get a dietitian involved, somebody who's going to sit down and go through your diets with you so that when you do the shift, because it does need quite an extreme adjustment, because things that I typically will say we need roughage for good fiber in your diet. With diverticulitis, we don't need roughage because it causes it makes the problem much bigger. So that can be confusing. That's why you need to sit with a dietitian one-on-one and go through your current diet for diverticulitis.
Okay. Here's another question here. Hi, Nonzwakazi here. I have irritable bowel syndrome. Can I eat inkomazi?
For the most part, yes, you can, because fermented foods, as much as they contain lactose, because some people, if it's irritable bowel syndrome, sometimes there's lactose intolerance involved with that. So yes, inkomazi, because during the fermentation process, the lactose is somewhat damaged, making it better tolerated for those with lactose intolerance. But again, a disclaimer on that one, IBS come in different forms and shapes. So for some people, if it's severe IBS, they may not tolerate something like inkomazi, and that's where we get probiotic supplements involved for such people.
All right. I know that there are often conflicting, you know, schools of thoughts about detoxing the gut. Should we or shouldn't we detox our gut?
Okay, when it comes to, I think, the actual science of the gut, we shouldn't be detoxing the gut. We shouldn't be doing anything ourselves to say, I'm drinking this for 3 days to detox the gut, because the gut has all the capabilities to detox itself. The liver is involved and it's for detoxification. The intestines, us passing the stool, that is part of detoxification that happens every day. Even us sweating and crying is part of detoxification. So I would say my stance on that is that no, you shouldn't be taking anything for detoxification. But also, Clement, what people do, then they take more harsh products for quick detoxification. Sometimes it's even laxatives. And the misuse of those products can make gut health go south and become even much poorer, whether it's colon cleanses as well, if not done properly. And for some people, if they already have predisposed gut-related disorders, it can even cause further damage, prolapsed rectum, all of those things that when we see in hospital, we see it may be as a result of somebody doing extensive detox methods.
And what about supplements like probiotics for gut health?
Yeah, so probiotic supplement, as I said, they have a space. They have a really big role that they play.
How often can you take that?
You can take it every day. Probiotic supplement, you can take it every day just to support your gut health, especially if you don't eat enough of these probiotic foods that I was mentioning, especially earlier.
Okay.
How's it, Clement? I don't know if you can ask your guest this question for me, please. So I gym a lot and I eat clean, very clean foods. Standard, you know, your chicken, rice, broccoli. You know, I got a variety of different protein sources. But as soon as I go onto a cheat day or I decide to snack on something that's not clean or like dirty, we would say, my stomach reacts really bad to it. Extremely bad. I don't know, is there a reason for it? Because I do also take like the probiotics. And it comes to a point where I'm buying so much Bosco Pan, it's unbelievable.
Bali?
Possibly there, it's just there is an underlying gut problem that needs basic fixing. But sometimes also, as much as he did say he eats clean, oftentimes that comes with compromising the fiber intake while we are prioritizing your protein and your vegetables. So maybe he needs to really look into the just making sure that he's getting enough of the soluble and insoluble fiber and the prebiotic fiber. And that helps a lot just to make sure that those bacteria, because he's taking a probiotic supplement as well, they are fed and they need to be fed pretty much for them to function. So I would say there is an underlying issue, but also just at a glance, I can say the fiber is missing somewhat.
Yeah. Well, let's do the last voice note.
Hi, Clement. Talking about gut, man, I've been concerned. I've been having very, I don't know, should I call it weak stomach? Yeah, it's a weak stomach. Wherein I find myself going to the toilet, a lot, man. I go to the toilet, I'm sure I go to the toilet more than 10 times a day. My stomach will sometimes be constipated, and at times, actually, like today, it will be very loose. I find myself feeling hot, more like I'm getting hot flushes. It's been happening for years. I've been seeing a lot of doctors, but nothing is helping. I wonder if your person there knows what could be the problem.
Bali?
From what he's saying, and he's heard it for years, it might be something to do with IBS. And again, my biggest advice for him is to see a gut specialist, a gastroenterologist, and they are the ones who will then do a scope and be able to identify exactly, pinpoint what's the problem. Oftentimes, people say, I've seen a lot of doctors, but they haven't been to a GE yet. They've seen GPs, and they haven't been to the gut specialist. So I'll advise them to invest in that. They don't really come cheap, but once you invest in a good GE, you are able to be directed well and get your gut-related issues sorted. And in this case, it might be IBS. I'm not sure, but I think it definitely needs investigation.
All right. Bali Mapoli, you've been great. Thank you so much. She's a clinical and consultant dietitian.